السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن. علماء کرام, most respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa, some time ago I discussed a very important subject, and that was fitnas. And I explained to you in some detail of how these fitnas come, through which doors they come, and how sometimes we cannot even recognize them as fitnas. Sometimes they come like the waves of the ocean. I gave you also the different meanings of fitnas, but today I don't call anything coincidental, because whatever happens, happens with the will of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. I had different things in mind which I wanted to speak on tonight, this being the first majlis. We had some zikr majlises and some short bayans on Thursday night, but after the operation, this is the first full majlis of bayan. So I had something in mind, but just a little while ago, just before the Isha Salat, again this subject of fitna weighed heavily on my mind. And most probably the reason for that is that at present lots of fitnas are coming in dini garb. In the name of deen, fitnas are coming. And we are not even aware that this is a fitna. If a person is aware of a sin as a sin, then he will make tawbah from it. Or if he doesn't make tawbah, then at least he will consider it as a sin. And someday he will get the tawfiq of making tawbah. But when a person considers a sin as sawab, when he considers something that is sinful as an act of ibadat, and he will give some proofs and dalils to justify that sinful action, the proofs also will be given by ayat of the Quran Sharif and hadiths of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to justify the sin, then we must know that that is a very major fitna. It's a very great fitna, because this person will not get the tawfiq of tawbah. In fact, there is a danger of the person losing his iman, because he is now considering a sin as an act of sawab or ibadat. As I mentioned, I think some time back, that one brother who borrowed money on interest from one of the money lenders, both Muslims, the borrower also Muslim and the lender also Muslim. And that is the tragedy of our lives, that at present we are indulging in acts which bring the curse of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the lanat and curse of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the curse of the angels of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in our lives, in our homes, in our businesses. And we are waiting for barakat. And barakat is not plentiful. I have mentioned that many times, that an abundance of material wealth is not barakat. If Allah Ta'ala gives it with His raza, with His pleasure, then it's a great ni'mat. Ni'mal maal salih rirajul salih. If the wealth is good and it's in the hands of a good person, then it's an ideal thing, it's a wonderful thing. It's a very good ni'mat. But we are talking about those who are negligent of deen, of sharia, of Islam, and then they are getting plentiful. So that is not a ni'mat. It is like how we trap those rats. We give them beautiful pieces of cheese and then we trap them. Or that example which you may have heard from me many times, that is like the flood waters, that when the flood waters come, the water is plentiful. But what do you get in that water? You get snakes, scorpions, you get dead animals floating. you get the urine and the stool and all the other filth in that water. If somebody has to drink that water, what will be the end result of that drinking of that water? The end result will be death. The person will get bilharzia. But the water was plentiful. So we should not look at the quantity. On the other hand, the person has got just one tumbler full of clean, fresh, pure water. So this pure, clean, fresh water will quench his thirst. It will be good for his system, for his body. So that wealth which is coming by borrowing on interest, paying interest, taking interest, gambling money, all other kinds of haram monies, then it will not bring any kind of barakat. It will bring restlessness, it will create more and more fitnas. The person will think that he is getting plentiful and it's a ni'mat, but it will bring fitnas. It's not going to bring any barakat. So this person says that he borrowed money on interest. But then, because he is a Muslim too and the lender too is a Muslim, so he tells the money lender, he says that how can you be lending money on interest? So you should not be lending on interest. So now what was his argument to justify it, to prove it, that it is halal, it's permissible? This is what I'm trying to explain, fitnas, how they come. So the person says that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has ordered that we must assist mankind. We must help people. Now if you, because you don't have such a good credit rating, probably whatever it was, say now if you are going to go to the bank, then they are going to charge you 19%, 22%, 25%, whatever was the rate at that time. He says, but I am giving it to you at 10 or 12%, so I am giving it to you at a lesser rate than what the bank would have given it to you at. So how can Allah Ta'ala become displeased with me because I am assisting a Muslim brother who would not have been able to get this kind of money through the banks? And if he had got it also, he would have got it at a very high rate of interest. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. Can you understand that how fitnas come? Now will this person make tawbah from this taking of interest? Why should he make tawbah when he is considering it as sawab? Again, Hazrat Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, that beautiful couplet. Kaisa ye inqilab hai, dekh ke dil kabab hai. Kaisa ye inqilab hai, dekh ke dil kabab hai. Kehte hai ab sawab hai, sood mein aur qimar mein. Kaisa ye inqilab hai, what a kind of revolution has taken place in the ummat of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That ummat which detested haram, which stayed far away from even doubtful things, so much so that when they made ibadat, zikr and tilawat, they cried that, oh Allah, it is not worthy of presentation before you. And today we say that even in totally haram actions and deeds, sawab hai. Duniya gale ka haar hai, deen nazar mein khaar hai. Duniya gale ka haar hai, deen nazar mein khaar hai. Yahi agar bahar hai, aag lage bahar mein. Duniya gale ka haar hai. So fitnas are coming from different angles, from different sides. And as I said just before Isha, it weighed heavily again on me to speak on fitnas. Why? Because, as I said, probably at present, many fitnas are coming in the form of deen or in the garb of deen. And people consider it as halal, permissible. There is no question of even considering it as haram. And to voice opinion against it or to state also in a gathering or to people that what you are doing is disliked and displeasing to our Creator, our Rabb, then that too also is not acceptable. Because they will give you as proof. But certain Maulana was there. That certain Maulana was also dancing on the stage. That Maulana was also performing as if he was in a circus. So now what are you going to do? The dalil and proof also will be ulama. This Maulana did that. So if that Maulana does something haram, does it become way halal? Ask our own conscience that is this right? Our conscience will tell us that Islamically this cannot be right. So the time has come when just to please everybody we have to keep our mouth shut or to congratulate even on something that is haram. These days you have to congratulate. Ulama are called on the stages in certain programs to give congratulations, Mubarakbad, upon such programs which that alim knows himself is totally haram or displeasing to Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But he is invited, and sometimes there's payment also on it. So the person has to say, MashaAllah, Mubarakbad, and we welcome. It is the most successful program that we had, knowing fully well that so many things that were undertaken in that program were nothing but haram. And Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala's fazl and ihsan, that if a person becomes pleased or displeased, that is not my problem. If these majlises, we are not going to say that which is haq, and also try to put everything under the carpet, then which day will we make our islah? Islah can only be made if the person is told that this is your weakness. It is our weakness. If I was not told by the cardiologist that your angiogram shows that all your arteries are blocked, there's no flow of blood there. Now if the cardiologist says, Maulana will become offended, he'll become hurt, his feelings will be injured. So I rather tell him that you are in perfect condition. Your arteries all functioning very, very well. So would that be right? And after that, when he says, now what do you have to do? So in that whole process, there's going to be pain. There's going to be slicing, cutting, chipping, chopping. As I say, some of the surgeons have become butchers today. They specialize in chipping, chopping, cutting, slicing, all the different parts of the body. But Allah Ta'ala give them jazaya khair that they, with such concern, they do their work. But what I'm saying is that now we know that there is a process in which there will be pain. Now the person says, that, no, I'm not prepared to submit myself because there's a lot of pain involved, there's a lot of problem. So that person's islah can never be made. So we must accept it, at least accept our weakness. Now there was some program over the weekend. Now so many people who are deendar, who are namazis, who come to the majlis, who go and attend other waz and programs, and they are in dini activities. Now so many of them told me themselves, Maulana, there was bumper to bumper. And you just could not avoid pushing and bumping those women who were there dressed up as models, and those who had perfume, and those who had this and that. And also there were certain kinds of performances there which definitely were not right. Now then what was the need to go to such a place? This is that fitna, that no, we will go there, we will see, and then we'll tell Maulana that what we saw there. Now who sent you as investigators there, or reporters? The FBI, if they had appointed you, well and good, to check if there's any other kind of terrorist activities there. But this is that fitna, that we will also go, we will see what is happening. And after that we will say that, no, it wasn't right, this wasn't right, that wasn't right. Then what was the need to go there? So those who have got taluk with the mashayikh, with the ulama-i haq, with the buzrugs of that come from other parts of the world, and those who have got taluk with the masajid, and those who got taluk with deen, then they have to restrain themselves. And this is that area where we are extremely weak, that we don't have that resistance power. Because we cannot go to the cinemas, theaters and casinos and other vice dens, we say that people will see us there, that how can this person be there? So now we cannot go there, so now we'll find another way out. And wallah, this young person tells me, he says, Maulana, he says, I went there for no other purpose but to admire the ladies that had come there. That was what he went there for. And somebody else wrote something else to me, which I cannot even mention in the masjid here. Now is this deen? How will islah then be made? So these are fitnas which are coming in different forms. We have to make up our mind that whether our brothers, our sisters, our grandfathers and grandmothers become angry or happy. But if we are really concerned about islah of this nafs, I've mentioned many times that it is easy to go and shoot a lion. Take a clutch and cough and go to Kruger's Park and get off, and as soon as you see the lion, shoot it. It's easy to shoot a lion, shoot an elephant, and shoot a cheetah or a tiger. But to shoot this animal of the nafs, it is not an easy thing. It will come through different angles. And this majlis is a majlis of islah. So therefore, I am not talking to those who are going to find justification and quote some other people who may have considered certain things as permissible and halal. That is their opinion. But I am telling you that for those people who have got taluk with deen, with, and those who want to get this connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they want to get that marifat, they want to get that nur of taqwa in their hearts, then there is no other way but to restrain yourself, no matter how much the taqaza comes into the heart. As far as purchasing items are concerned, pay those few rands somewhere else at some other time and buy it. And if you are going to do that for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, you will even get greater reward, or you will get great rewards because you restrained yourself from such a place where there would have been such squeezing of your women and your sisters and your mothers. Where is the shame and where is the haya and where is the modesty? It is not haram for the women sometimes to go and do some shopping and buying. That is a different thing. But what I am saying is that when you know the area is so restricted that our mothers and sisters are going to get pushed and bumped, and what these youngsters have written to me or this person has written, what they went there for and what they did, then it is only if the person has got no shame and no haya and no modesty left, then he will take his wives and sisters and allow them to be bumped and pushed by those people who came there with no other intention but to push them and bump them, and to stand behind their backs and to put their hands wherever they thought was pleasing to their nafs. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So brothers, these fitnas are coming very, very fast. In the name of Islam, in the name of deen, in the name of sharia, in the name of the Quran and Sunnah. Now if we are going to say, so and so will get offended and annoyed if we are going to speak out against these type of things. And I'm not talking about any one particular program. Because this just happened recently, probably it came onto my tongue. But the thing is, it is general, it will happen. There are more programs that are going to come. More and more are going to come. And very soon you will see, there will be a flood of it. One singer used to read naats and qasidas and sing in most of these type of programs. He phoned me this morning and he says that, Maulana, I was also invited to a certain dinner program where there was a dinner. And I was told to sing and I will get so much thousand rands and I will get this and I will get that. So because I had heard your talks and this and that, so I told them, all right, put partition, separate the men from the women and then have your program. I am prepared to read. So they said, what, you gone mad, what? These people who are coming, they want to sit with their families. You gone mad that you want to ask us for partition. Kaisa ye inqilab hai, dekh ke dil kabab hai. Let us show some concern and appreciation for that blood of our beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then we want to know what is happening. Why is nothing coming right? Why is so much of programs and still our youth going on to drinks and drug and vices and evil? How can it come right? How can it come right? In the name of deen, in the name of the Quran and the Sunnah. And the best part is that such functions, the talk also will be that we must follow the Quran, we must follow the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Which Quran are we talking about? Is there some other Quran Sharif besides this one? In which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَخُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَخْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُمْ. So is there some other Quran Sharif besides that? In this one Allah Ta'ala says that tell the believing men that they must lower their gazes. That means where it's not possible to make parda and all that, then lower your gaze and walk past. In the business I've explained many times that out of necessity you have to look around, but there look in such a way that you are conscious of the fact that Allah Ta'ala is watching your gaze. And if the person is driving and he has to go deep down, or he has to go down a slope, then at that time if there's a truck in front of him, there's a steep decline and the person has got a truck in front of him and there's a bus behind him and there's some other traffic on this side and that side, and there are pretty women standing on the left hand on the pavement, And if he makes one slip, he's gone. End of his life. He'll hit the truck or the bus will knock him or something will happen. At that time he's driving. So he's not driving blindly. He's still looking. He knows that there are women standing there. He knows that there are beautiful faces there. But he's not turning his head like that and looking at them from top to bottom. He's driving with caution, with care. So there he's going to only lose his life. And here he loses his iman sometimes. Just over pretty faces, people have sold their deen and iman. So fitnas, it's a time of fitnas. And Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Allahumma inni a'uzu bika min al-fitan ma zahara minha wa ma batan. In one place, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in Hisn al-Hazin, it is recorded, na'uzu billahi min al-nar wa na'uzu billahi min al-fitan ma zahara minha wa ma batan. First he asked for protection from the azab of Jahannam, and then azab, protection from the fitnas. Ma zahara min hawa ma batan, zahiri fitna and batini fitna. Fitnas external and fitnas of the inner self. Different kinds of fitnas. Hazrat Shah Wasiullah Rahmatullah Ali, ND 291-844. Somebody wants to come out. He's one of his mazmoons on the same fitna. He says that, and the same dua which I mentioned and which I discussed at length in that majlis of mine. So he says, Na'uzu billahi min azabin nar wa na'uzu billahi min al-fitan ma zahara min hawa ma batan. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he mentioned fitna, so then we have to understand what is this fitna. لہٰذا جب حدیث شریف میں آیا ہے کہ ہم کو فتن تو ہم کو فتن کو بھی سمجھنا پڑے گا we will have to understand what fitnas are اور ماں ظہر اور ماں بطن کو بھی جاننا ضروری ہوگا we will have to understand what ظاہر is and what باطن is now imagine he is saying in his time he says میں جانتا ہوں کہ یہ زمانہ ان سب باتوں کے کہنے اور سننے کا نہیں ہے He says, I know that this is not the time to talk about these fitnas. Why? Because people cannot digest it. They cannot digest. When you talk these type of things, it cannot be digested. He says, تاہم جب ہمارے علماء مشائخ نے اس سے بحث کی ہے اور اس کی تفصیلات کتابوں میں لکھی ہے تو ہم بھی اسی کو بیان کرتے ہیں. He says, why should we not explain when it has been explained in the kitabs? Whether somebody accepts it or not, whether somebody makes amal or not, that is his business. Our job is to inform that these are things which are leading to the displeasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and they are bringing fitnas. So this is a hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in the form of a dua. Na'uzu billahi min al-fitan ma zahara minha ma batan. And we must ask this dua in abundance in these days of fitnas. Because we do not know whether it is a zahiri fitna that is going to catch us or a batini fitna. In fact, one of the commentators of the Hadith Sharif of this particular dua of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then he said that here, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, ma zahara minha wa ma batan, first of all, when he says, na'uzu billahi min al-fitan, so it means that I'm asking Allah ta'ala for protection from fitna, whether it is dunyawiyya or it is ukhrawiyya. That means whether it is a fitna of this world or it is a fitna of the akhirat. I'm asking Allah Ta'ala for protection from this fitna. And then, وَمَا زَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنْ External and inner fitnas of the inner self. Then he says, probably, it could mean that those fitnas which were present at the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam or those fitnas which are going to come. It could mean that. Or it could mean that fitna which a person can see with his eyes and that fitna which a person cannot see because it is connected with the heart. So whatever kind of fitna, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has asked for protection. Ahadith se malum hota hai ki fitan ke bahut se aqsam hai. There are many, many categories of fitnas. اور یہ ایسی سخت چیز ہے کہ موت کو اس پر ترجیح دی گئی ہے Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in one of his du'as, he said, إِذَا أَرَدْتَ بِقَوْمٍ فِتْنَةً فَتَوَفَّنِي غَيْرَ مَفْتُونَ. Nabi of Allah, masoom and sinless Nabi, he says, O Allah, when you have decided that you are going to get this ummah in fitnas, then take me away without being caught up in the fitnas. Now, was there any kind of expectation that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was going to get caught up in any kind of fitna? Nauzubillah. It was for us that if he as a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala is saying that when you have decided that now this qawm is going to be put into big, big fitnas, and he's going to destroy them in those fitnas, then he says, take me away without being caught up in those fitnas. In fact, it has been mentioned in Majmu'ul Bahar, Al-Mawtu Khayrum Min Al-Fitna. Al-Fitnatu Takoonu Min Allah Wa Min Al-Khalq Wa Takoonu Fi Al-Din Wa Al-Dunya Kal-Irtidadi Wal-Ma'asi Wal-Baliyyati Wal-Musiba Wal-Qatli Wal-Azab وإليه أشار بحديث وإذا أردت فتنة في قوم فتوفني. Says this mouth being khair min al fitna, that sometimes mouth is better than getting caught up in those fitnas. In one hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam says, إذا كان أمراؤكم خياركم وأغنياؤكم صمحاءكم وأموركم شورى بينكم فزهر الأرض خير من بطنها وإذا كان أمراؤكم شراركم وأغنياؤكم بخلاءكم وأموركم إلى نسائكم فبطن الأرض خير من زهرها. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, إذا كان أمراؤكم خياركم, when your amirs, when your umara, they'll be the best amongst you, your rulers, your governors, whoever is at the head of your affairs, they will be good ones amongst you. They will be appointed on the basis of their character, of their knowledge. They will be appointed on the basis of their taqwa, of their following of Sharia. Then at that time, to remain on the surface of the earth would be better than being beneath the surface of the earth, when they are the good ones amongst you. And your rich ones will be generous and kind, charitable, hospitable. And your affairs will be decided by consultation amongst yourselves. The rulers are good. The rich ones amongst them are good. And the affairs are also decided by mutual consultation, by shura. Then the zahrul ardh is khayrum min batniha. Then it's better at that time you rather live on the surface of the earth and do some good deeds and get the akhirat namats and sawab. But he says, وَإِذَا كَانَ أُمَرَاءُكُمْ شِرَارَكُمْ. But when your amirs, when your leaders, when your rulers, or whoever is appointed at the head of affairs, we can extend the meaning, then they are the worst amongst you. You can even extend it to the meaning of the person in the home, that the father is a very bad example to the children. Or the father has passed away, the elder brother, he is a very bad example. Or anybody else who is in charge of the affairs, whether it is of the masjid, of the madrasa, of the home, in whichever department of life it may be, that person who has been appointed at the head, whether it is in the government, whether in parliament or cabinet, wherever it is, then they are the worst amongst you. They are the mischievous ones amongst you. They are the ones who are indulging in a lot of sins and vices. But they have been appointed, as it is mentioned in another hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that close to Qiyamah, the signs in which he has mentioned that people of low moral behavior and character, they will be appointed at the head of affairs. Why? Because of fear, that if you're not going to appoint this person, then he's going to terrorize. So rather give him the vote. So he says that when this is going to be the affair, that they will be the sharar amongst you. And your rich ones, those whom Allah Ta'ala has given wealth, who has given property, who has given material things, then they will show no concern for the poor and the needy, and they will be the miserly ones amongst you. and your affairs will be decided by consultation with the women folk. Then at that time it is better to be under the surface of the earth than being above it. Now to take mashwara from the women folk is not haram. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself on the occasion of Hudaybiyah, he took mashwara from his noble wife. But here what is being referred to is that those women who gives mashwara of indulging in things which are against Islam and Sharia and Deen, but the husband is going to accept it, or the children are going to accept what the mother says, or in the government now they will say equality of sexes, so therefore give them the rights equal to that of the men. And then suddenly the time comes when there are more women in parliament and in cabinet than men. So he said, at such a time now, then it is better to be under the surface of the earth than being above it. Because that ummah cannot succeed after that. And we are seeing that what kind of women are coming into parliament. I'm not talking about our country, but I don't know. But the other countries, in newspapers, they have announced that this woman was a prostitute and she has stood for elections. Or this woman was indulging in this sin or that sin, or she was a dancing champion, but now she's standing for elections. Now, or film actress, and she's standing for elections to get the votes. So at that time, that to be on the surface, to be under the surface of the earth is better than being on top. So here he says that sometimes this fitna can be from the side of the makhluq of Allah Ta'ala, the creation of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And sometimes this fitna can be in the deen itself, that the person does not know. I will explain inshallah in future majlises sometimes, that fitna can be in the deen. And sometimes the fitna is in the dunya of the person. Kal irtidad wal ma'asi wal baliya, apostasy, sins, bala, musibat, all kinds of musibat and problems. And sometimes it is qatal and killing and murders which become aam. So this brings a great amount of fitna in the person's dunya. And sometimes it's azab of some different form that Allah Ta'ala sends. But all these are different kinds of fitnas that the person gets caught up in. So they say that in these type of fitnas, the person sometimes does not even know that it is a fitna. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that when there is such kind of fitnas, then at that time, ya Allah, rather take me away than being caught up with the fitnas. Sometimes this fitna is in the nafs of the person. And sometimes it is in his home. Yani uski zaat mein aur uske dil mein hota hai. Kabhi uske ahl aur biwi mein hota hai. Kabhi uske maal mein hota hai. Kabhi uske walad mein hota hai. Kabhi uske dar yani ghar mein hota hai. Kabhi uske jar yani padosi mein hota hai. Isi tarah se kabhi uski hayat mein hota hai. Kabhi uske mamat mein hota hai. Kabhi uske faqr aur tangdasti mein hota hai aur kabhi uske ghina aur maldari mein hota hai. Fitnas in different things. Fitnas either the person's self, or fitna from his wife's side, or if it's a wife, then fitna from the side of the husband, that the husband has become rebellious, he is in drugs and drink and vices and other evils, or it is from the wife's side that she has become disobedient, rebellious. Sometimes the fitna can be within the home, and sometimes it can be outside the home. How many of the homes have already become the targets of these fitnas? They have become victims of these fitnas. We are not even concerned. We do not know what kind of fitnas have entered our homes. Something that I have repeatedly mentioned in many, many majlises and programs in different places. In fact, at one time it was like as if I was gone paranoid. There was some obsession I had that I was going place to place and telling them the same thing. That this television is a big fitna. Forget the little benefits that may be in there. There's a lot of benefit even in drinking too. In gambling also there's benefit. The person had only 10 rand and he struck a jackpot and he became a millionaire. So there is some benefit. We don't deny there are benefits in everything. In what there's no benefit. In stealing also there's benefit. The person didn't have that car, but he hijacked it and now he's got a car. So isn't that a benefit? So now will we say that all these are benefits now. So therefore rather steal, drink, do whatever you want because of the benefits. So we don't look only at the benefits. We must also look at the harm which is greater. It reminds me of one brother Allah Ta'ala make his maghfirat, give him Jannatul Firdaus. But he was a very jolly person, and I met him at the airport. He was going somewhere. So he had a good sized tummy because, mashallah, he was well built. So I joked with him and I said, mashallah, healthy assets. I put my hand on his stomach and I said, mashallah, healthy assets. So he said, but you must also look at the liabilities behind. So there could be some benefit. But it doesn't necessarily mean that everything that is beneficial, then it is good. But what he said was correct, that you don't only look at the person's assets, you must also look at his liabilities, because so many of the homes, properties, buildings, which we look at and we say that this person has got so much of assets, all we have to do is go to the bank and find out his liabilities. Then we will come to know. So this fitna sometimes can be in the wealth, sometimes can be in the property, sometimes it can be within the home. Yes, I was saying that in the home, this fitna of the television, which I went around talking about and giving one example everywhere, and that is that those people who say that we are namazis, we are making tilawat of the Quran Sharif, and we do this and we do that. But when it comes to the same television, then they say that we don't commit zina, we don't drink, we don't gamble. But in some homes they've got two, some homes they've got three, and there was one Amil down here in South Africa, and he had made one condition, that I only give taweez if you don't have TV in your home. Now his condition was very difficult. So he says, in one home, I had to make them take out eight television sets. Eight television sets. So any more there? Say, yeah, there is one more small one there. There's another one more in there. He said, no, until you don't take that out, I don't give you taweez. Well, he used that to make them get rid of the TVs. But I said, now imagine how much of zina comes on the TV. In that person's sitting room, bedroom, lounge, yeah, there, everywhere, there's zina that's coming, there's drinking, there's gambling. Then sometimes the scene is being enacted in a graveyard. Now all those graves are coming in there on the pictures. Sometimes the actor is singing in the church, sometimes the film actress is dancing in the temple. Sometimes it's here, sometimes it's there, and so many different kinds of scenes are all coming one after the other. Now where is the place left then for angels of rahmat to come in those homes? So that person who says, I was not indulging in all these things, what was he doing there? So there's so much of fitnas that are coming. But the problem is that we justify these fitnas. One is the person admits, he acknowledges, he confesses that indeed there is a weakness, there is a shortcoming. I agree with you that it is haram. Because when the major content is haram, then how can we declare that little as halal and permissible? Who can deny that? That the major content of all the programs is haram. When 80% is haram, then are we going to look at the 20% benefit? And what destruction it is bringing in the lives of our children? So these are the fitnas that are coming from different angles in different forms. And then very soon we will have Islamic television. So that those people who haven't got a television, in the name of Islam now, or learning Islam, they will buy a television. Then when you are going to ask them that why have you bought a television when you never had before, then they will say because there are Islamic programs that are coming on Islamic television. Can you see the fitnas, how they will come? And in the name of deen they will come. So we have to be on guard long before these fitnas come. We will be condemned, we will be criticized, we will be mocked, we will be teased, we will be laughed at. We will be called people of the orthodox lifestyle and camel age and old outdated ideas. We must move with the times. You rather be criticized for not doing the wrong thing. We rather be criticized for not doing that which is wrong. We are not doing that which is wrong. They criticize you, you must be happy. What's there? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what kind of criticism he went through? Sahaba-i kiram, radiyallahu anhu ajma'in, the awliya-i kiram. So they rather criticize and laugh and ridicule and mock. We must take it in from one ear and out from the other. then that we should be criticized by the angels of Allah Ta'ala, or by Allah Ta'ala himself we should be condemned. That should be our main concern. Again, something that came to mind, why should I let it go? And that is what I said a week or two ago, that it is indeed beautiful that what was the characteristic of the Sahaba-e-Kiram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. And in their footsteps, whoever follow, they are unconcerned about what the people say. As long as it is on Quran and Sunnah, they are following, then they do not concern themselves. Unfortunately today, those who do the wrong things also, they say the same thing. Those who indulge in haram also, they say the same thing. They don't worry about what people say. You must go ahead. It is just like that Hazrat Khaja Sahab's, Ek din marna hai, aakhir maut hai, kar le jo karna hai, aakhir maut hai. One day you have to die, and then it's death. And do whatever you have to do, finally it's going to be death. So we also say that, and the kuffar, mushrikeen, yahud, nasara, they also say the same thing. We say that one day there's going to be death, so do whatever you have to do now. Your namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, ibadat, zikr, tilawat, charities, and whatever you want to do, do it now, because one day you're going to die. And they also say the same thing, one day you're going to die, so commit as much zina as you can, go and watch as much haram as you can, and indulge in as much illicit relationships as you can, and brag about it. Whatever it is, do it now, because one day you're going to die and turn to dust. So here also the person, I mean, he says the same thing. They don't care what people say. Exactly we say, don't care what people say. But when? When the person is doing that which Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have ordered, and is following the footsteps of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu ajma'een, then if there's criticism, that why don't you indulge in this? Why don't you join me also to this kind of a party or a function where there's going to be so much of haram? Then we will say that, no, sorry, you can laugh, you can make a mockery, you can say what you wish to, that's not for us. So the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu ajma'een, this was their beautiful characteristic, that the whole world can become displeased. But as long as Allah Ta'ala does not become displeased. Laakh aaye musibat to parwa nahi, laakh toote sitam uska shikwa nahi. Laakh aaye musibat to parwa nahi, laakh toote sitam uska shikwa nahi. Chahe badle zamana nahi uska gham. Chahe badle zamana nahi uska gham. Aap badle to apna thikana nahi. Laakh aaye musibat to parwa nahi. The Sahaba used to say, oh Allah, any kind of difficulty, hardship, problems, tests, trials can come upon us, we are unconcerned. But oh Allah, if you turn away your glance of rahmat and mercy from us, then we will find no place to stand. Then we will face destruction. Oh my beloved Allah, you should not become displeased with me. That was their concern. Allah Ta'ala must not become displeased. So why are we so concerned? At the most they will say orthodox, outdated, living in camel age, whatever they could say, they must say. That is their opinion. See, everybody has got a right in this age of democracy to make a mockery of anyone they wish to. That's the what democracy is. That you can make a mockery of whomever you wish to. But our concern, and that is the only purpose of these majlises, that let us get our heart in a fit and healthy condition, that we enjoy the good and we hate the evil, detest the evil, dislike the evil, and we enjoy staying away from evil. We enjoy doing that which is pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. It must give us a happiness, it must give us satisfaction. We must not find it like a big burden upon us that, Allah Ta'ala kept us away from here and kept us away from there. He is our Rabb, He is our nourisher, He is our sustainer. He is the one who knows what is good for us. He wants to save us from destruction in this world, in the qabr, in the akhirat. Allah Ta'ala wants to give us peace, happiness, tranquility, serenity, joy, and happiness in our heart. Allah Ta'ala wants to give us His ma'rifat. Allah Ta'ala wants to give us His muhabbat. Allah Ta'ala wants to give us jannat on the surface of this earth. مانا کہ میر گلشن جنت تو دور ہے, عارف ہے مگر دل میں خالق جنت لیے ہوئے. او میر آئی نو دیٹ دا گارڈنز آف جنت آر فار اوے, آئی نو دیٹ دا گارڈنز آف جنت آر فار اوے. You will have to do a lot of things in this world and then go through the qabr and akhirat and cross the pul sirat, then you will get inshallah jannat. But arif hai dil mein khaliq jannat liye hue, the arif of Allah Ta'ala, he has got the khaliq of jannat in his heart, he has got Allah Ta'ala who is the creator of the jannat in his heart. And when Allah Ta'ala comes into his heart, into the hearts, he comes with all his sifats and all his qualities. So he wants to give us the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Then why should we get caught up with fitnas which will cloud our minds, make us restless? Go to the rave clubs, go to the cinemas, theaters and all the other kind of haram dens and come out from there and see what is the condition of the heart and the mind. It's clouded. And do you think we will get every woman that we see there? And even if the person had to get, what will he get? At the end of the day, what will he get? Sickness, disease, AIDS, and all kinds of other problems. And restlessness, anxieties, worries, and azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in different forms. Friction, disunity, the love of his wife and children will be taken out of his heart. And the person will then get a life of restlessness. So what is the benefit in that? Simple things to do, simple things to undertake, and you get the pleasure of Allah ta'ala and you get happiness. Yes, within the parameters of Sharia, you make progress, go to the highest rung of the ladder, nobody stops. Make progress, go right up. Shariat wants us to make progress. Excel in whatever field you are, which is a permissible and halal field. Become the best doctor, best teacher, best lawyer. Become the best scientist of the world. Become a manufacturer and inventor. Do everything, nobody stops. But only one thing we must remember, that Allah aur apne Rasool ko na bhoolo. Don't forget Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So brothers, inshallah we will continue if Allah Ta'ala wills, gives life, health and opportunity next week inshallah. But that is the subject of the time, fitnas. So therefore we are discussing it. If you have heard it before in a different form, then what does it cost to listen to the hadiths again of Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Because fitnas are going to pour, and it is now pouring. At one time it was drizzling, then it became little faster, and now we can see that fitnas are pouring. Good people are getting caught up in these fitnas. But the dangerous part is this, that when we are going to consider the haram as halal, then where is the iman? At least admit, acknowledge. I know some time back also, when one of the functions took place somewhere, when I spoke on that, then we had a lot of criticism and comments about it. So what are we going to care about that criticism and comment? If I have to sit here and keep telling you this is okay too, that is okay too, that is okay too, enjoy yourself in every program, every kind of function. So you'll get happy too and the organizers will get happy too. But Allah Ta'ala will become displeased. So I am talking to you who are coming regularly to these programs, that please in future keep your wives, your daughters, give them something better than that. Give them something better than that. We don't say that it is haram to take them out for a picnic somewhere or in some quiet place or take them out for visiting. But where we know that the space is limited and in the name of deen there's a big fitna, then at that time stay far away from there. Allah Ta'ala is not in need of such kind of collections and donations. He's not in need of it. He's Allah Ta'ala is running short of giving halal, that we have to go towards haram. Allah Ta'ala's treasures are unlimited. I will conclude on one incident which, because I just mentioned that Allah Ta'ala's treasures are unlimited and He can provide from sources unknown to a person. Have that yaqeen that Allah Ta'ala can provide from sources unknown. He gives risk to creatures, to animals in the jungle, to fish in the sea. He gives risk to worms beneath the ground. If Allah Ta'ala can provide for all these type of things, He can't give us halal. But we need a little bit of begging before Allah Ta'ala, a little bit of crying, a little bit of asking. So I conclude on that one example which I think I gave when I returned from Karachi last year. There was a friend with me and he bought some chocolates from here to take for his family there in Karachi. Now in that room that he was sleeping, some rats came and they ate up or nibbled at those chocolates. They got through the box and they nibbled at those chocolates. But the next morning when he decided now to pack that in a packet and take it for his aunt or whoever it was, then he saw the chocolates have been nibbled by rats. So now it is such a thing that it doesn't cause any kind of real concern, or person doesn't really look at it very seriously. It happens. If rats have eaten up a bit of chocolate, what's there? I said, no, we must take a big lesson from it. That these chocolates, where did they come from? South Africa. I said, first the cows, we don't know whether cows were in Ashburton or they were in some other person's farm in some other part of the country, but from somewhere those cows gave milk. And that milk came to the dairy. From the dairy, then it went to this place where they manufacture the chocolates. So much trucks and whatever was used to transport it to that factory. Then again, if you look at the sugar, it was in one of the plantations on the north coast or somewhere, but from there it went to the mill, it became, went through all the process, and then it became sugar. Then that sugar went in trucks and whatever it may be to those factories where they manufacture the chocolate. Then if you look at the packaging, if you look at all the details, I told him, I said, look at everything that went into the manufacture of this chocolate, from way it came and all, then it became chocolate. Then it was packed in a box. From there it went to the wholesaler or the, it went to the suppliers who sell in bulk. From there it went to the retailer. Or then you purchased it at whichever store it may be. After purchasing it, now you buy a ticket, 5,000, 6,000 rand ticket, and you transport these chocolates all the way to Karachi. For whom? For Mr. and Mrs. Rat. Now, if I had told you in Durban that please make sure you carry a few chocolates for those rats there, would you have ever carried? But Allah Ta'ala had in the muqaddar of those rats the chocolates of South Africa, so He made you transport it and give it to them there. That Allah who can make you carry chocolates for rats in Karachi, can't He give you halal risk and sustenance in heaven? Why should we not understand these things? Why should we go towards haram? Look at Allah Ta'ala's system, it baffles our imagination. Which stupid person would have taken chocolates from here for rats? But Allah Ta'ala makes you take it when it is in the muqaddar of somebody somewhere far away. May Allah Ta'ala give us that yaqeen. May Allah Ta'ala give us that muhabbat of His. And may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of amal. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا غياث المستغيثين ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما. Oh my beloved Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Ya Allah, forgive us, our parents, our wives and children, brothers and sisters, and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh my beloved Allah, we have gone far away from your deen. Oh my beloved Allah, we are caught up in so many fitnas that we don't even recognize many of them as fitnas. Ya Allah, our iman is at stake. Ya Allah, our yaqeen is at stake. Oh my beloved Allah, we are living in such a time that to hold on to deen is like holding a burning coal in our hands. Oh Allah, we are living in times of fitnas. Fitnas are lashing at us from our right and our left, from in front of us and behind us. Fitnas are pouring from the satellites above us, through our televisions into our homes. Oh my beloved Allah, if you are not going to protect us, who is there to protect us? There is no one for us besides you. Allah, tere siwa hamara koi sahara nahi. Tere siwa koi hamara nahi. Hey, mere pyare Allah, don't turn away your glance of rahmat and maghfirat from us. Ya Allah, because of our sins, don't turn away your glance of rahmat. Forgive our major sins and minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. Oh Allah, forgive the sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, of our hands and feet, of our heart and mind. Oh Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Bless us with the best of this world and the best of akhirat. Ya Allah, do not test us in this world, do not test us in the power, do not test us in the akhirah. Ya Allah, cause us to enter into Jannat without any reckoning in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba Ikram, the Tabi'in, the Tabi'in, our Mashayikh. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq of doing that which is pleasing to you and protect us from all that is displeasing to you. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.